Welcome to the State of CRM podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Ben.
Happy 2022 and happy new year to everybody. We're excited to be back and starting the podcast up for a new year. So today we're going to kick it off kind of our last podcast was basically focusing on kind of a recap of the previous year. So we thought it may make sense to lay out some predictions that we have for the upcoming year. So we talked to a lot of marketers over the last year at conferences in the field. We conducted a couple research surveys, and we got a lot of insight in terms of how marketers are thinking about the future. So we compiled five key trends that we are predicting will be important in 2022. So we'll see if they come true or not.
Yeah, and Matt, we are happy to jump in this new year and jump back in the show. So before just jumping into the first topic and prediction, just a reminder, we mentioned that in last episode that we'll publish the State of CRM report in January. A lot of you, people in the audience, participated in the survey. We are finalizing the document right now as we speak, really. And so we'll have a webinar to share the highlights before sharing with everyone the report. So the webinar will be Tuesday, 25th of January at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, U.S. So that's been 5 p.m. In France. The link will be somewhere in the description below. and so you can register, and we'll be happy to have you for this webinar. So you'll be the host, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting stuff. I've had a preview of the report, and there's a lot of really good data and insights in there. So I'm excited to share some of that out with you guys in a few weeks.
Yeah.
So just to kick it off, I think, thinking back to 2021, I think it goes without saying, but a pretty wild year inside of CRM, but also all and with everything happening in the world as well. And I think you obviously can't separate the two. We saw major changes to privacy with the iOS 15 announcement. We've mentioned it a lot of times, but that's obviously sort of a huge move forward in terms of a major initiative by a tech company that has a huge impact on the way CRM marketers are going to be able to optimize their marketing campaigns. We've seen sort of a refocus back towards the customer. In terms of like all of the different challenges and objectives that we hear from marketers, the number one thing is getting closer to their customers, which is difficult in a world of constant shifting consumer behavior, especially with the impacts of COVID that we've seen over the last couple of years and are continuing now. I think every few months or so, we're like, is this it? Are we out of it? Are things going to go back to normal, whatever normal will look like? But I think it keeps kind of manifesting itself in new ways. And it's interesting to kind of see how the market is reacting to that. So I think like those are some major things that we've already talked about, that we discussed on the recap episode as well. 2022 looks to be similar in terms of being kind of a disruptive year. So I think we're going to see a lot of interesting things emerge. Some of these things will be continuations or evolutions of some of the trends that we were talking about in the previous episode. And I think we're also going to see some interesting and new things as well. So with that, we can go into some of our predictions, but we'd also love to hear from you. If there's things that we don't cover today or that you as a marketer, or even if you're not a marketer and you're just listening to the podcast, which is great, really think are going to be impactful for next year, are really going to change the way that marketers reach consumers or develop their strategy or whatnot, please let us know. And we'd love to share those out or even cover those on future podcasts.
Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned it's the one of the main topics last year, and we really see that coming. I mean, being a big topic this year is consumer privacy. It started with Apple last year in the update on iOS. One thing to keep in mind is that the deployment, the rollout of iOS 15 on the installed base of Apple owners, iPhone owners, is just going on. It was not a switch that's here. I've not seen a big impact right now, so I will be good. No, that's growing in terms of impact in the database of Apple users. You mentioned, Mats, we discussed that yesterday, that, I mean, you received the notification to activate the privacy just a few days ago,
yeah,
even though you made the update some months ago. So they are pushing that and notifying people over the database, I mean, over the size of the database for months, for weeks, and that will keep growing. And running back to the main topic, which is consumer privacy, that was the first move on the market, the first tech making a big move like this. There will be more.
Yeah.
And we can expect that to happen this year. For sure, the question mark is, who is the next email provider that will make this move? But most likely, Google will do something. MSN, Microsoft, probably too. I mean, there are things coming up on this topic. And what we are also expecting as a consequence of that privacy topic and open, I mean, the hiding the opens and all of that stuff, is the fact that email provider, ESPs, your tools, your marketing tools, will have to adapt better than what was done last year. Last year, we saw a lot of articles, comments. You can work around the Apple open rates missing or misleading in terms of KPIs. We are expecting provider to react to that. So I'm again expecting to see this metric, the open rate, either disappear from your dashboard in the ESP or being corrected, adapt, you being notified that there is a part that you can rely on and the other one is not trustful. I mean, there are a lot of things that can happen, but it should move this year, and you can expect to still have some trouble to read open rate and more issue to be able to follow this KPI. So better be prepared to forget about it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, like, you know, this is just one example that's you know, really just indicative of sort of like an environment that's shifting to favor consumer privacy.
Yeah.
So there's also pending state regulations. There's always sort of the looming idea that there might be some federal legislation in the U.S. around consumer privacy, similar to what we've already seen implemented in California, updates to the California law as well. And a lot of those, as we know, those regulations are really focused around the sale of data or the transaction of data or third-party data and being able to access that. So I think it's important to note that not all of this is necessarily a bad thing, especially if you're working in CRM, because CRM marketers work largely with a wealth of first-party data.
Yeah.
And we're moving towards a world where first-party data is just going to become even more essential than it ever has before.
Because the consequences of that is very much complicated way of using third-party data, tracking people. So an increased, I mean, if I can say that will still increase, but an increased cost of acquisition, even if that's exploded in the past years, the cost of acquisition is just not going down. That will keep going up. And we saw that last year already coming, more and more people and solution and marketers using first-party data, talking about zero-party data. That will be really, I mean, core to your strategy, to your marketing strategy and your CRM strategy. And that won't, I mean, again, that was already started, that just continuing that path in 2022. But it's more and more important, and that will be more and more important for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's a good segue into our second prediction. So we talked a little bit around sort of the deprecation, obviously, of open rate as being an optimization or measurement metric for marketers, simply because it's going to become unstable and unreliable. So what we're seeing is sort of a shift in marketers, like kind of focusing more on business metrics, which we've already talked about in a previous podcast. But I think what this is going to do this year is really put pressure on tech providers to be able to offer ROI solutions and be transparent about their ability to deliver on that. I have some stats actually that came directly from a survey that we ran last year of CRM marketers. So about 54% of CRM marketers say revenue generation is a top goal, but 40% say it's still a major challenge. So I think it's going to come down a lot on tech providers to bridge that gap. Moving away from, I mean, there's a lot of players in the space that optimize subject lines, optimize clicks, all with the goal of sort of achieving these proxy metrics that we've talked about so much in the past. And I think what we're going to see now is marketers, for two reasons. One, just becoming more savvy about the opportunity for them to drive business metrics and connecting their goals to their overall business goals, which we've talked a bit about. But in addition to that, simply them just not being able to use those metrics as effectively anymore. So they're going to be kind of forced to move into more revenue, more margin-based metrics, more customer lifetime value types of optimization. And what we're going to see there is a push because of that on tech vendors to be able to deliver on that. From the same survey, we actually saw that about 85% of marketers look at ROI already when assessing tech solutions. And I think what's interesting within that, about 85% or so, or about actually about 9 in 10 use ESPs and about 2/3 use CDPs. So the majority of CRM marketers within this survey that we talked to actually use one or the other or both. But there seems to be a bit of a disconnect in terms of revenue because, very few of them are actually tapping into their targeting solutions, for example. So about 17% with ESPs, about 4% with CDPs are actually using them for more effective targeting. And what we know, obviously, is that more effective targeting is a really great way to generate revenue. So there's, even within the capabilities that exist within some of these platforms, marketers aren't taking advantage of that. So there's like sort of this gap in their ability to be able to use data to drive that revenue that they're looking for. And I think what we're going to see is just increased pressure this year on these tech providers to be able to deliver on these metrics. And there are things that you as marketers should be asking about. Like, what is this going to do for my business? Great. This subject, you can optimize subject lines to optimize opens. But like, how is that going to help me generate more sales?
Yeah, I mean, that's an important topic, and I can't wait to see all of that moving on. The prediction number three is a shift on personalization. If I can say that a different way, that's expecting, well, I mean, I'm expecting to see a new era of personalization. That's a lot of personalization so far is done through trigger-based messages, journeys that are decided by the marketer, saying that you have to do the, after this action, the next step is X 3 days after, and 5 days later, you send another message. That's not customer centric. That's not based on the customer. They're based on what the marketer think is best, or read the data, make an average of the data point he's seeing, and they will be doing this journey based on average data. That's what is most likely done by the whole market in terms of personalization. That won't disappear, but can expect to marketers to understand that there are limitations to this practice. And the limitations are, you are waiting for the consumer to act, to do something. And so you are still reactive. Even if the journey is scheduled in advance, or because that's the anniversary of their order, or whatever thing that you are building up as an experience for your consumer, the trigger is a trigger to react and waiting for the action or an action, a movement from the consumer. You can provide personalized experience, even with the part of the database that is not active or not providing you this trigger. And that's what we are expecting to see more. I know that some marketers out there are already doing it, but yeah, the complementary of trigger-based campaign strategy and also personalized journey based on targeted campaign, more targeted campaign, more personalized and individualized journeys. That will grow and for the better. I mean, for the better for the consumer, so the better for the long time value of your business.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if you know, now that sort of personalization has become like the de facto way for marketers to be able to get closer to their customer, which we know is the ultimate goal, thing we've heard over and over and over again. If they'll hit a point where they realize that the capabilities that they tend to go to first, things that you mentioned like trigger-based journeys, are just simply not scalable, you know? And that's going to be the interesting wall we'll see if we hit this year. And I don't think, even if we don't hit it this year, I think we're going to see it start to emerge. And it's going to become a very pressing issue for marketers.
Yeah, that's already started. In the past years, and that was growing a lot last year. But that's still not a I would say mainstream practice for marketers because they are busy to implement the trigger based journeys. And fine, now it's done. How do you progress? How do you challenge what you've done, and how do you add up on your strategy? That's the next step for individualization.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think related to that is creating experiences across channels as well, which brings us to number four, which is a focus on omni-channel marketing.
Yeah.
Some stats as well from the same survey I mentioned earlier. About 9 in 10 CRM marketers use email, about 3 in 4 use social, and over half use SMS and display. So we're already seeing a multi-channel approach emerge. However, you know, obviously we're still seeing a very weighted focus on email and a little bit less so on SMS and display. And I think what we'll see this year is those numbers start to, or continue to, like in all likelihood, increase for those that are sort of lagging behind a little bit. And so what I think that will lead to is more of even more multi-channel marketing than we've seen in the past. So CRM marketers really taking advantage of all of the different touch points they have the opportunity to storytell to their consumers on. So, you know, we know that not everybody can be reached as effectively on email as they might be able to be reached on social or even display or SMS. So, I mean, we talk a lot about individualization. This is like another example of that. Like every single person consumes media differently. They consume advertising differently. They're impacted by different media. And so I think like we're just going to continue to see a diversification there. But in addition to that, and probably actually more importantly, is, you know, multi-channel's been a thing, and we talked about this before as well, but it's been a thing that we've been talking about for, you know, two decades practically at this point, you know, especially with the rise of mobile. That was really kind of like the emergence of like digital itself becoming a multi-channel opportunity. And the next step from that is, you know, what we've been talking about around the difference between multi-channel and omni-channel. So being able to create a continuous, effective storytelling across channels with the right level of pressure management to make sure you're not over communicating, but that you are actually reaching the right people on the channels that they engage with, but your storytelling is continuous across all channels so that it's not an SMS strategy versus your email strategy. And that's going to require a connected data approach to be able to understand how each customer is sort of consuming different media and how different media can impact different objectives in different ways. So I think that's something we'll probably see a little bit of a shift towards as well. I think there are some technical roadblocks to that. I think we're still yet to see, a solution that can really, really nail that in terms of being able to create that continuous storytelling for each individual user across any potential touch point that they might interact with your brand. But that being said, I think every year it gets better and marketers are waking up more and more to that. And the more that they realize that that's the direction they need to go in, the more pressure they're going to put on solutions to be able to offer that. So I think we're going to continue to see development and demand in that area.
Yeah, definitely. It's a topic going on for a long time, but every year a step forward.
Yep.
and closer to the holy grail of the multi-channel and omni-channel contact. Last but not least, prediction 5 is actually clarification on the AI world.
Yeah.
AI exists for a long time. I mean, proof is that, TinyClues is running for, the company is running for a long time and is AI first, an AI first company. I mean, the core of our platform is AI, and the product is built around the AI. But the AI is a buzzword, a trend that is more recent. In the last 2, 3, 4 years, that really explodes in the market. And every marketer, every company, I'm not even talking about marketers, that every company wants or needs or have something on the roadmap saying that we need to use AI. Because that's a trend, that's the buzz. What we expect, I don't know if that's a prediction or a wish, but the thing is that what we expect is for marketer to get a better vision of what's AI and what's behind this term. Too often that's in the company, are you using AI? Yes, we tick the box. Yeah, but AI, there is AI in AI. I'm not even talking about performances, but use cases.
Yeah.
There is AI to do subject line optimization. There is AI to do targeting and audience optimization. That's what we do. There is AI to to predict the business. For a lot of things, to predict AI to optimize warehouse and stocks. I mean, you can use AI for a lot of different things. And what I'm expecting and the prediction is that finally this year, I think that marketers will realize that it's not because they have one tool in their stack that use AI, that it's solving all the use cases that AI can help with, or what all the need they have to solve to accomplish their goal or to implement their strategy. And you can have 5 different tools using 5 different type of AI, and that's not a problem. There is no overlap in the outcome, in the benefit, in the use case. It's not a big deal. It's not a problem to have different tools that do AI, because this AI are meant to do different things.
Yeah.
And I like to use an analogy with the car. I mean, do you have a car? Yes. But if I have a buggy to go in the dune, in the sand, and you have another locomotion transportation tool, which is a bus, you don't achieve the same thing. I mean, it's not all a car, but everything is a vehicle that can help you to go from A to B, but not for the same use case.
Yeah.
So that's not because you have one type of transportation that you don't need the other one for another use case.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that the AI, it's not because your vendor, your stack saying that, oh yeah, but we just recently added an AI module and they just tick the box to achieve the goal of saying they have AI. The real question, marketer, you need to ask yourself is, okay, but what use case are you achieving with this AI?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's good. Does it help you in your strategy?
Yep.
And do you need different pieces, different tool with AI to help you to maximize your strategy and your benefits? Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, look after the market and everything that can be achieved with AI. And there is no one size fits all AI. I mean, there is no AI that can solve every use cases.
Yeah.
So that's really something to we look forward to see, because that was very noisy this past year around the AI term, and really expect the marketers to realize that AI means a lot of things, and they can have different AI again to achieve different goals, and just pay attention to what is said in marketing slides and all of that from the vendors.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too, because I think like AI can be a lot of things, but it also isn't some things as well. And there's a lot of the term is being thrown around a lot, because it's I mean, like, quite frankly, we're all in marketing. It's a nice marketing term. And once it started, the application of AI started being applied to marketing, then all of a sudden, you know, marketing providers, tech solutions integrated that into the language that they use to market to customers. But a lot of what is in market isn't necessarily AI. It's maybe like A/B decision making or something like that. It's not working with relational databases and learning. It's not that sophisticated. So I think kind of along lines of that, marketers are becoming a lot more savvy to this, and aware of what AI is and aware of what it isn't and what it can do for them. And I think that's another thing, kind of like in the ongoing theme of holding tech partners accountable. This is going to be another area next year where we're going to see increasing accountability placed on these solutions around, okay, you say you have AI, how is it AI? What does it do? What does it solve for? You know, and how did you build it? How is it different from other solutions in market? So I think potentially we'll see a shift in that area as well, because, you know, it's CRMC, the conference that we attended at the end of the summer or beginning of the fall. There was a lot of conversation around AI, and marketers were talking about it. So it's top of mind for them and something they're eager to learn about and understand how it can drive value for them.
Yeah, and the last thing on AI is that it's evolving too. I mean, there are progress made. That's something pretty new in terms of technology. It's not, I mean, that's been years from now, but it's new. And I mean, you can imagine that's, I mean, talking a little bit of what we really know, because we are into that every single day, that technically the first work on the AI and building the first engine, that was in 2010. A lot of time of research and development before the first product and first clients, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But what do you think happened since 2013, first client using TinyClues, and we are almost 10 years later? I mean, the technology, the power, the computing capacity, the power of the cloud, of the solution, what Google Cloud is allowing people to do right now, what Amazon is allowing to do right now, Azure is providing great solution to. I mean, there are a lot of providers that help to facilitate this work. So while we were building everything from scratch 10 years ago, now we can use top of the art architecture to work on very more advanced capabilities. And the difference is that, yeah, we were able to be super good and have great results 10 years ago. And the thing is that we still have a team working to implement and to improve all of that performances and the way we can cover different use cases and discover new use cases that we can solve with AI. That's making progress. So long story short, to my point is the fact that it's not because you are using AI for 5 years that you are ticking the box again and you have everything covered. What I'm saying is you can challenge what you have, look for new use case, new capabilities, how it improved over the past. I mean, every single month there are new capabilities thanks to AI. So challenge yourself? That was one of the topics at the end of the last year, saying that how do you challenge what you were doing in the past? That's one of the that's falling into this topic. That's it's not because you have a stack and you have capabilities that you can't challenge them to have a better coverage of new use case or better doing the use case you are currently doing.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think that that wraps up the five predictions we're making for 2022. It'll be interesting to see, you know, which of these come true or how much they come true this year. I think at the very least, we're going to see movement in the directions we've been discussing within each of these five themes. It'll be interesting just to kind of see, like, 1 year makes such a difference. I mean, I started here at Tiny Clues exactly 1 year ago, actually, this week. And even the environment that I sort of, when I started at Tiny Clues, it existed then in terms of capabilities, what marketers were focused on is different than now. So we'll be having this conversation again a year from now, and it'll probably be even a bit different. But would, again, love to hear from you. Anything that you think that we've missed that's a key potential prediction for next year, let us know. Anything you think we're off on, challenge us as well. We'd love to talk about that on the podcast. And we're looking forward to putting together, you know, some great topics for the year. And the more that you kind of feed into that, the more they're going to be relevant for you as the listeners. But definitely, yeah, reach out and engage with us. And kind of echoing Ben at the beginning of the podcast, make sure you sign up for that webinar for the State of CRM. We'll be talking about some of these trends in a little bit more detail with some data points supporting them. And we're looking forward to sharing that information with you as well.
Great. I mean, we are happy to be back in 2022.
Yep.
Have a good day and talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.